Okay, so today's reading is from John 8. It's up on the screen. So we're doing John 8, verses 12 to 30. And there's two types of Bible layout in the pews, on the chairs, I should say, the middle column and sort of with no middle column. And depending on which version you've got, that will tell you the page number. So it's going to either be 1078 or 894. So hopefully everybody's found that. So we're going to start at verse 12. This is chapter 8 of John. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I am the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away and you will seek me and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true. And I declare to the world that I have heard from what I have heard from him. They didn't understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he said, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. That's God's word.
Well, as we begin, let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and we come before the light that is given to us through this passage. We pray that in that great light we would see one whose glory excels all others because of the glory that you have given him. We pray that in this light that he holds out to us, that we would trust in him, that we would follow him. And Father, today we would hear his voice. And we, like sheep who have no shepherd that was sleeping, would follow around him, and that he would gather us up and take us home in his own good time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So in this passage, Jesus makes an exceedingly bold claim. an exceedingly bold claim. Look with me, if you will, at verse 12. We're going to walk very carefully from verse 12 to verse 20, and that's going to be the focus of our time together this morning. But in verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He is very specific, and he says this, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." If you notice, this was Jesus's entire sermon. That's all he says before he gets interrupted by some questions, but we'll go into that in just a few moments. But let's look at this sermon that Jesus speaks, this exceedingly bold claim. You know, he's not the only one to make an exceedingly bold claim. He's not the only man to have done so. We hear bold claims all the time. One really famous one from the last century, if I can get a picture up. Here we are. Does anybody recognize that photo? There was a bold claim that went out from kind of a crackly radio sender. It said something like, "That's one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind." It was a bold claim. And yet it was justifiable. It's quotable. It's repeatable. Because Neil Armstrong did step out of the lunar lander onto the moon, orbiting this world. It was a bold claim for a bold moment. The claim would have been really silly to make if Neil Armstrong had not been on the surface of the moon, stepping off the lunar lander, right? If Neil Armstrong had been in his garden stepping off the ladder after he trimmed the hedge and said, "This is one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind," you would have said, "This man," like C.S. Lewis has quoted, "is like a poached egg. He's that nuts." But because of the situation and because of who he was, it was an appropriate claim. And so this morning, we are in the audience, in the hearing of Jesus's bold claim to be the light of the world. And we, like the religious leaders that had gathered around him in the temple that morning, are found with this extraordinary claim to consider. Jesus, who stepped down into the darkness of this world from heaven itself, says, "I am." Very intentionally, those words, as the words of God himself that had been spoken long ago when he says, "I am," meaning I am the only one. I am the one who reveals myself. He had spoken those words in the Exodus. He says, "I am the light of the world." He means the world for everyone, all nations. There is an encompassing nature and of this word world. There's a bigness. It's what makes this claim extraordinary. And he says, "I am the light of the world for everyone who would believe. Come out of the darkness you're walking in and come to the light and you will live." If you could translate it that way, it'd be most appropriate. But people claim, as I've said, all sorts of things. Some claim to be a Ben, a member of the raving loony party. But the stakes of Jesus's claim here are so much higher. The stakes are higher when someone claims that this will be true, that Jesus is the light of the world, that will be true for everyone at all times and in all places. So people might say to this claim, "Well, that is bold then. So you mean that that applies to each and every person, that ever has been and ever will be, all time. Yes. And you might say, how does he have the authority, the right to say that? Jesus says in this, I can say this because I am, meaning I am God. And my Father, the High King, is the one who sent me to say it. So he gives us a clarifying statement here. And so I'd like to speak about this claim and the response to this claim very briefly this morning. Just two things. Let's look at this claim one more time. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. This claim is verified by Jesus' life and by Jesus' words. He doesn't pull them out of thin air. An old pastor in London sums up Jesus' life and ministry as he takes on the nature, the identity of the one who is the light in these ways. He said this, Jesus' birth shows us that the true light coming down into the world that gives life to everyone had come. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. That's how John begins this gospel story. Jesus' whole life and ministry has thrown a brilliant light on the path that all Christians are instructed to take. Before him, it was just a feeling along. There was a darkness. Without him, the darkness continues. Jesus, as a preacher, was luminous. He expounded the spirituality of the law of God. He shows us how God's law applies and condemns. The light of his ministry penetrated the precept through and through as he made the essence of purity apparent. God is holy. Jesus says, let me show you. His light cleared the law of the mist and fog that the religious teachers had gathered around it. He shed light on the covenant of grace and shared a gospel of peace. And it stood shining in his midst. He told of God the Father, who was willing to receive prodigal children back again into his own heart. His parables threw wondrous light on the kingdom of heaven. And eternity dawned on his hearers while he spoke. This is the light that Jesus verified by his ministry and his words. But he not only verified them by his ministry and his words, but he exemplified them. He lived them out, even by his very position, where he was standing when he said, I am the light of the world. It's extremely important and super interesting. Jesus is standing in the temple court, and the Jewish biblical feast of tabernacles had been taking place or was still taking place. We're not exactly sure. It depends on what day Jesus is speaking these particular words. And guess what? Jesus Christ stands in the temple and he proclaims, you've been looking at this light, the light that is a light during this feast. I'm the light you're looking for. Because in that very room, verse 20 says that he was in the treasury. That was in the middle of the temple where people would come to bring their offerings. It was also the place that there was a brilliant candelabra that would be set aglow at evening. And that candelabra burning bright in the temple look forward to the time in which all the nations would come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord God, just as the prophet Zechariah had spoken of in chapter 14. And Jesus stands in that very room where the candelabra had been burning, maybe even the night before, and you can smell the oil still lingering in the room. And maybe the sun is just beginning to come up to replace the light that had been burning there. And Jesus says, look, and don't look any farther. I am the light of the world. And all nations will be gathered in this place. And even further, he will be the temple. The temple that will be torn down and raised back up in 3 days. All of Jesus' words are starting to knit themselves together brick by brick in this moment. We're seeing the radiance of his glory given to him by the Father, called as the sun dawning. One theologian named Leon Morris notes that light is not something that is a natural human possession. Let's think about that for a moment. I've got some engineers in here, so I'm going to step out on a ledge that I should never walk on and talk about thermodynamics or something like that, right? You can tell me about it later, but I'm going to introduce you to you the concept. Jesus says that he is the light. And one thing that we realize is that for us to have light, for us to hold it, to harness it, something must be spent. There must be energy that is used. Something must be spent. Jesus claims here that he is the source. He is the light, the only light. And that he is the one who will be spent for the world, that they may be, that they may believe in him, the one who has come, and that they would no longer walk in darkness, but they may have light, which is code for life eternally, at his expense. They would have something that only Jesus has to offer. That's what he's speaking, that's what he's preaching, that's what he's holding out to these Pharisees that morning. But then we come in the second place to their response and ours. Their response and ours. Verse 13. Children, this is a great lesson. This is a great lesson for you. Jesus has been speaking, and guess what the Pharisees do? They are grown men who should know better. They interrupt him. They completely interrupt him. He is in the middle of a beautiful sermon, and they say, just a minute, can I pause for a technicality? Completely interrupted. Rude. They say this in verse 13. You are bearing witness of yourself, and your testimony is not true. Your testimony is not going to hold up in court, sir. You can stop talking now. That rude. And Jesus says, rude, you're wrong. Okay, he doesn't say that, I do. But in verse 14, if you look down, Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness of myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I come from and where I'm going. He's in a roundabout way saying, I know what I'm talking about, and you don't. I know where I've been. I know who sent me. I know that I am the only one who could bear witness of these things because I was the only one around when they were made. He is the eyewitness to all things. There is none other to be called except his Father who was there with him in the beginning. And so he says, I know where I've been and I know where I'm going back to the Father that you don't know. And that is the saddest indictment of religious teachers of the law that there could be, that you study all of these things that talk of him and yet you miss him. because you've missed me. He's been really clear. He's been laying down not just a crumb of bread, but he's been dropping loaves of bread along the trail so that they could figure out who he is and what he's been saying. Matt spoke with us about John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, we get Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life." John chapter 7 says, "He is the living water." And now we have John chapter 8 saying, "I am the light of the world." He is meant to spill all over the place that he is the one who is filling and fulfilling the prophecy that came to pass in the Exodus and the events that came to pass in the Exodus and the God who brought the people through the Exodus into the promised land. Because God provided them bread in the wilderness, water from a rock, and light through a pillar that led them so that they would not be lost in the darkness. And Jesus says, "He is here." And yet, the Pharisees stand in judgment of him. Jesus calls them out. You stand in judgment. And that's in verse 15. "You judge according to the flesh." Jesus says, curiously, "I judge no one." And yet later in the text, he will say, very judgingly, "This is where your heart is." And then we know when he comes again, he will judge the world. So what does he mean? He means the word judge there. I am not judging like you're judging, Pharisees. I am not judging in the manner in which you're judging, because you are judging me in order to find fault. In order to say, "No, you're not." Jesus says, "I didn't come to find fault with you. Rather, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. I've come not for those who are well, but for those who are ill." So he doesn't come to judge in that way. And so in saying this, he gives them the sternest of warnings. If you judge me, Jesus the Christ, to be outside of this glorious claim that I am putting forth that is exceedingly bold and yet absolutely true, it is verified by God the Father. And unless you also claim and believe that these things are true, you will not know the Father who is mine. You will continue to walk in the darkness of your own sight. You will walk in a darkness that only leads to deeper darkness. In your searching, when you pass me and when you pass the light, you can go eternally in the opposite direction and you will never find another light. You will only be further and further lost. Blind men will only lead blind men further astray into a cliff edge in which they will all perish together. But, and this is where Jesus calls us, he evokes our own hearts for a response in this moment, because this light of the world is being held out for us. Because if we follow Jesus, who is the light of heaven, come down for us, we will live. We will be found. And so, Jesus, the Christ, who's come down from heaven, who is the light, his hands are outstretched before this congregation this morning through his word and the Holy Spirit. And even if your doubts have gathered around you like clouds of thick darkness for days, weeks, years on end, he can dispel them right now, this morning. He is the light that will penetrate their darkness and their weight. They will be vaporized in his presence because he is the true light that has come down from heaven. But there's a warning. You can't and you will not find him. You will not find peace. You will not find a pathway that leads to God without him. Jesus says in John chapter 3, no one has ascended to God except he who has descended. And so he had to come down to bring us to the Lord. And that's why he says, without me, and when you deny the light, verse 24, you will die in your sins. Another amazingly sobering reality. He says, you will die in your sins unless you believe in me. So Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me and you will not walk in darkness, and you will have the light of life. Following Jesus as the Son of God who died for us is not one small step. It's not even one giant leap. But it is nothing less than darkness that has been transferred to light, and death that has been raised to life. That is what we have in Jesus Christ. That is what we have when we trust in him. Today, if you hear his voice, trust and believe in the one who came. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who has come down, that we may become the children of God, that we may have life in his name. Father, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have led everyone to his own way, and yet you have laid on him, the Lord Jesus, our sin. And he was crushed for our iniquities. He was bruised for our transgressions. And yet his righteousness and goodness was given to us, that we with him would dwell forevermore in his impenetrable light. Father, would you help this to sink deep into our hearts, that we would trust them, trust him with everything we have. In Christ's name, amen.
We're going to take a